Turn with me to Genesis 24, Genesis chapter 24, as we continue our study on husbands. Today we're going to be looking at the duties of husbands. This will be part one, the duties of husbands. Genesis chapter 24, we're going to read at verse 64 to the end. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And her servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Amen. So everyone knows about Isaac and Rebekah, the love story there, and how Isaac got Rebekah. And notice what verse 67 says about Isaac towards Rebekah. He loved her. Husbands, what do you suppose is your number one duty towards your wife? What's your number one duty, husbands, toward your wife?
To love her, Christ loved the church and gave himself for
her. Okay. Anyone else have a different answer? No? All right, you can't top love, right? Nothing can top love. So the number one duty of every husband, and you single men need to hear this as well, and you young boys need to hear this as well, the number one duty towards your wife is to love her. That's number one, is to love her. Everything else flows from this one dominating and chief duty. Everything else flows from this. Okay? And there is no other duty above this duty. None. You can't top it. You are to love her. Now, how many of you have ever heard this teaching? That you don't get married for love. Any of you ever heard that? Any of you ever heard of people that say that we don't get married for love? I have. I've heard people say that in the church. That there are Christians who say we are not to marry for love. And I'll tell you, those guys have no idea what in the world they're saying. Okay? In fact, I would worry about receiving marriage counseling from such men that say such silly, dumb things like that. Okay. I mean, Genesis 24:67. He loved her. Loved her. He married her for love. Think about it this way. If you don't get married for love, then why did Christ die for you? Why did Christ die for you? Christ died for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will be saved. The reason Christ died for us was out of love. And as James said earlier, love is number one, the number one duty. Why? Because we are to love our wives as Christ loves his church. So if people have an idea that marriage is to be done and not necessarily out of love, then transfer that to then our salvation in Christ. And see how that works out for you. Right? It is nonsensical to say we don't get married for love. Yes.
I haven't heard that. What's their answer instead? I mean,
to procreate.
Okay, that's it. All right. I just wondered, like, what's the context? Like, if they say it's not for love, what do they say?
Yeah. They say, well, the number one reason for marriage is to be fruitful and multiply. That's what they say. Just procreate. Just populate the earth. Have as many babies as you can. But love is second, third, something like that.
So is this kind of also going to like the same mindset that we talked about when we were talking about like wives and stuff? We're talking about some people believe, you know, even if it's detrimental to the health of the wife, could kill her. Babies anyways.
Yeah.
Baby, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Same.
The wife will be saved in childbirth. Let her have babies until she dies.
That's the same.
Same kind of mentality. Cool. Yep. Yep.
Who has that, where that's coming from?
Yeah. So. The kinds of people that are behind this kind of mindset are people who got their teaching from Bill Gothard. You may have may not have heard of it, but he's the one that founded this institute called Institutes of Biblical Life Principles or something like that. And then you have, Duggar family follows their teaching. Yeah. So the Duggar family's views are skewed big time. Yeah. So, yeah, you get it from that kind of mindset. And part of our denomination in Indiana, RP churches, were severely damaged out of Gothard's teachings, and the fallout has been horrendous because of that kind of teaching. I can't remember. Yeah, he was a fundamentalist kind of guy, yeah. But there's that institute still around. They're trying to distance themselves from Gothard. There's a documentary called Happy Shiny People that kind of documents it, but it's from one side of the thing. But anyways, that's where some of his ideas comes from that. All right, so look at 1 Corinthians 16 with me. 1 Corinthians 16, so let's jump all the way into the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. 16:14 says here, let all your things be done with charity or love. If the universal means of doing all things is to be love, how much more the husband to his wife, right? His wife who is his rib, his helpmeet. See, if we're to do all things with love, then especially then with our wives. And just because you are her head does not mean you are not to love her above all people. Because you are to love your wife above all people. In fact, she is to be your chief love among all of creation. Only love to God is to be greater. The only love that should exceed your love to your wife should be your love to God. Period. It should even be above the love you have for your parents. A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. She is the wife of your bosom. You are to love your wife even above your own children. Because one day your children will move out. But your wife is always going to be there. She is one flesh with you, not your children. Your wife is. She is to be your first love, among all of creation. If you demonstrate this love to your wife, if you're demonstrating this kind of love to your wife, what do you think are some pitfalls or sins that a husband could avoid in committing against his wife? So if you're loving your wife like you should, what sins will you as a husband avoid? Adultery, good. What else?
Bitterness,
good.
How's
that?
Abusing your wife.
Yep.
Or like even less than that, just being harsh.
Harsh, yep. Not being harsh. You won't be harsh, right? Good. What else? Okay, I'll give you some more. You won't be as puffed up, right? You won't be a swole head and everything is about you, right, as a husband. You won't be insulting your wife either or trampling her under your feet. And you'll be kept from abusing your authority against your wife. Okay? So these are some examples. Genesis, and think about it, right? Always compare your marriage with Christ's relationship with the church. Because that's the analogy. The analogy, marriage is an analogy of the church. It's a relationship with Christ. And so, you know, if Christ doesn't do these things to us, we shouldn't do them to our wives, right? He doesn't abuse his authority. He doesn't, you know, insult his people. Genesis teaches us that because the wife is the weaker vessel, and a wife is indeed more prone to commit the sin of trying to be over their husbands and to provoke them, if you as a husband have much love for the wife, that will help buffer her sins against you as a husband. For love covers a multitude of sins. So the scriptures are clear about this, right? There is a desire of the wife to be above her husband, to try to tell him what to do, to be his head, and to provoke the husband. And the husband's love to the wife should be such that he is not easily provoked. He'll get provoked. We're sinners. We'll get provoked, right? But you're not as easily provoked, right? And so just remember, the church provokes Christ a lot because the church is full of sinners, right? But he is slow to anger. Doesn't mean he doesn't get angry. Christ gets angry. But he is slow to it. Husbands will get angry at their wives if the wives are provoking and trying to exercise authority over them, because that's not what they're to do. But love will buffer it. It will. It won't, you know, it should cause the husband not to react with wrath or harshness. Right? If there's a lack of love, then there's going to be a lack of peace between husband and wife. And so, again, be cautious. You know, exercise the gift of love towards your wife as much as possible. So when those times happen, and they will happen, and they do happen, if you've been married more than 6 months, you know it happens. You know, just exercise greater love and greater patience in your response to your wife. She is the weaker vessel. And part of the curse is that her desire would be over her husband, right? So you bear that in mind. Just bear that in mind. Love is patient. Scripture says that. Look at Isaac as an example. Look at the extent he went for Rebecca. Because he loved her. He loved Rebecca. And so such demonstrations of love should in turn provoke the wife to love her husband all the more. Okay, so it ends up being reciprocal. Okay, you love, they love back, right? Look at our relationship with Christ. What did Christ say? To him who has been forgiven more, loves more, right? They love more. And so, same. You demonstrate that to your wife and they will reciprocate. A wife is to turn over all authority to her husband. Her father's authority, the authority of her father, is relinquished to her husband. Okay? So the husband becomes her head. And her care is committed to her now husband's care. Right? Goes from the father caring for the daughter to the husband caring for the wife. And so love must rule the passions and the relationship so that the authority does not fall into tyranny. Okay? So the first duty of the husband to the wife is to love. The second is to exercise authority over the wife. Okay? To exercise authority. But we are to exercise that authority with self-control. We are not to allow sinful passions to govern our authority over our wives. And we need to be careful that we don't become tyrants. Because then that care becomes a loathsome burden. Okay? And then there's problems in the marriage. A husband must care not to fall into the great sin of hatred towards his wife. For just as there is to be great love, if hatred takes root in a relationship, it ends up being the greatest degree of hatred that ends up being manifested. Okay? I mean, she should be the love of your life, but if she isn't, she's going to be the hate of your life. So you got to be careful of these things. And these manifestations of hatred tend to be the cruelties of hell. And we all, most of us have been long enough in this world to see crimes of passion that occur, right? There's some of the most brutal types of crime is spousal crimes, where the wife offs the husband or husband offs the wife. Those are the worst. And all because there's a lack of love and they didn't know how to exercise authority properly. Okay? So you need to guard yourself. You need to be watchful over your own souls so that the evil one does not allow such sin to take root in their lives. So again, if you're single, this still applies to you. You need to listen because you need to learn that the chief duty you will have with your future spouse is love and exercising authority in such a way that it does not become tyrannical. An authority that is godly. Okay? Now, the duty of the husband is also to maintain his authority. To maintain his authority and not to relinquish it to the wife. So the wife needs to ensure she does not usurp it nor challenge it. Okay? So the wife needs to be cautious in her relationship with her husband, not to challenge or usurp his authority over her. Anyone have any ideas how a husband should go about maintaining his authority with his wife? Any ideas? Excuse me? Family worship? Good. What else?
By setting himself as a commendable example.
Mm-hmm. Yep, being a commendable example. Good. Anything else? Any other? How does a husband maintain his authority? Any other thoughts? Those are really good ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good, good. So if you give your word, you carry it out, right? Good. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a general life principle anyways, right? So that's perfect.
Sometimes maybe the wife might try to challenge that, but you still stick to it.
Uh-huh, yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, certain decisions you talk it through and arrive on the consensus. But if you said you gave your word to her to do something, you do it. You know, that's one way of doing it. Or if you've decided, no, we're going to do it this way, then you end up doing it that way, right? And always remember, husbands, whatever decisions you guys make, even if it was mainly because your wife persuaded you to make that decision, the consequences are yours to bear. You are responsible for whatever consequences come out of that decision. That's part of being the head of the house. Don't be like Adam. She told me to do it this way, so I did it. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Because when you guys arrive at a decision, right, and it doesn't go as planned, the husband blames the wife. And right there is the root of a lot of problems, right? Be a man and own it up. Own up to it. right? Even if it was mainly her that persuaded you to do it, you say, okay, we'll do it your way. Bite the bullet now if it doesn't go right. You are to own it. Look at I'm going to read 1 Timothy 4:12. And this right here, at first you're going to be like, what does this have to do with husbands and wives? But bear with me. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith, in purity. So here he's talking about qualities for a pastor. Okay? Qualities for a pastor. But what does this have to do with authority? Everything. So these qualities here that goes along with a person who has authority. If someone has an authority, this is how they should live their lives. They should be an example to others. And for as husbands, we are to be an example to our wives. So we said family worship. You, Ryan, you said what again? Be an example. And then, maintaining your word, keeping your word. So husbands, it is your duty to maintain your authority as head of house by your word. Okay? And you exercise your authority and you demonstrate, you maintain it by your family worship, by being an example to them, by using the characteristics that Paul gives to Timothy here, even. Being honest, speaking the word of truth with love and patience to your wife and children. And so your conversation or conduct should not reflect a tyrannical grip, but one of love and respect. See how charity or love is again in the picture here. And, you know, one of the qualifications of being a pastor, he says here, is to be an example in charity, in love. Okay? And so this is how you maintain your authority. Demonstrating love. Demonstrating love. So you ask yourself, do you demonstrate love to your wife? The greater love you demonstrate to her, usually wives will reciprocate that, as I mentioned earlier, and not try to usurp your authority. Okay? Now, when they do try to usurp your authority, don't think that I'm saying, oh, that must be because you're not showing her enough love. It's not always that. It could be just her sin. Okay? Could be her sin. Okay? And so, men, what I'm saying here is you just want to demonstrate love, maintain your authority with her by demonstrating her more love. But if she does seek to usurp your authority, you got to meditate on that. Is it because I'm not showing enough love, or is it this is just her sin kind of thing? Right? So you just got to measure that. Just like with the Lord's Supper. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, were you built up even more in the faith? If you weren't, then you need to examine yourself again. Okay, why do I not feel like anything really changed in my spiritual walk with Christ? You examine yourself, right? How do you interact with your wife? Do you walk as a godly husband with your wife? Are you pure with your wife and not causing her to sin with you? Because these are all ways to maintain your authority. Okay, so I just scanned the room to make sure I can say this. Husbands, you need to protect your wife's purity. Okay? In this culture of today, especially living where we live, you got to protect her from pornography. Okay, or those kinds of occasions. You got to watch and protect her. That's how you maintain your authority as well. You don't want to provoke her to sin. You want to protect her, the purity of her heart, and keep her away from that which is evil or would cause her to sin against God. Okay, So all this, again, is couched in family worship and just even just worship between you and her without the children, praying together, things like that. All these things help to maintain your authority. If you become profaning your speech, profaning your conduct, profaning your carriage, you lose your authority. You lose your authority. Being a drunkard, being a righteous man, being harsh are all indications of lost love, which leads to tyranny and not a Christ-like authority. And she will definitely despise you as a husband, right? Definitely. While maintaining your authority, you're to manage it properly, okay? So you're to love, you're to exercise authority, you're to maintain your authority, and you're to manage your authority, okay? Husbands, you are to tenderly respect and love your wife. You are to care and provide for her. And these are all your duties. Christ will hold you on account. But you are to manage your authority properly. And not just say, I'm the authority, do what I say, and get back into the kitchen. Right? You're not going to exercise it that way. Take this verse into consideration. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. And then couple that with Genesis 2:18. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. There's a parallelism here. There's a fellowship here. In 1 Corinthians, we are told that we are laborers together with God. Does that take away God's authority over us? It doesn't, right? We are his fellow workers. In this verse, God's authority is not diminished. It is rather maintained. It is maintained. And he is managing his authority by causing us to be fellow laborers with him. Right? So we are fellow laborers with God. And he maintains his authority. He manages his authority this way. Likewise, Eve, or your wife, is your helpmate. She is meat for thee and your fellow laborer. Yes, she is subject to you, but she is with you, alongside you, not under you. And so this is how you manage that authority, by recognizing her position, her relationship with you in this marriage. Yes, the husband rules over the wife, but that rule is not to be harsh. Again, not to be harsh nor tyrannical. And I beat that drum because men tend to exercise authority this way. Many of us have jobs where we have supervisors that are very heavy-handed. We don't like that, right? Micromanagers. Or like over your shoulder. Or speak to you harshly. Nobody likes that. Your wife won't like that either if you're like that. But you need to be loving as one who cares for a weaker vessel. And that, in your authority, there's this intimate fellowship and cooperation that exists, right? There's to be a cooperation there. She is to be built up by your authority and made more and more beautiful by your authority over her. That is how you manage it, by building her up, making her more beautiful. What does Ephesians say about Jesus and the church? Jesus makes his church, his bride, more and more beautiful by his interaction with her. Husbands, likewise, this is how you maintain your authority. Yes, you are to make her more beautiful in the way you interact with her. Okay? And she is not your servant in this sense. She is to be at your side. And when I say servant, not like a slave, right? She's not to be like a slave, property. She is to be at your side, next to you, right? We talked about the rib last week. Came from the side. She's to be your helpmeet. She's to be your fellow laborer. Okay? She's to be next to you and above your children and any others who live in your family. For no other human can be nearer than your wife, and none ought to be more dearer than your wife. And so this is how you manage and maintain your authority over your wife. And doing this, for the most part, her love will increase towards you. Her respect will increase towards you. And she'll try, and her attempts to usurp your authority will be minimized. Still be there. Just like we as husbands won't be perfect in doing any of these things. We'll lash out. We'll be harsh. We will be tyrannical at times. We'll forget not to, you know, manage our authority and with charity and try to stomp on her. I mean, we need to repent when we do that. And we need to confess our sins to her when we do that. Just as the wife is to confess her sins when she usurps her husband's authority and seek for forgiveness. Okay? And all this, brothers and sisters, the root of your authority is love. It's the root. If your authority is coming from love, these sins will be minimized. Okay? As Isaac loved Rebecca and went through great pains to have her, so you, husband, are to love your own wife. Because this is the duty that Christ has put upon you. Okay? This is your duty to your wife. And Christ, your head, has told you to do this. Okay? Any questions, thoughts, comments? I'm going to end it here. Challenges. Always say challenges. James?
Yeah, when your wife is usurping the authority by the husband, can you should you just rebuke and say that you're usurping my authority?
Yeah, the way you respond should not be harsh, right? You're not to respond with harshness or with strong words. Say, honey, you know, what you're doing right now is out of line. You know, your tone has to be different, right? And I wouldn't use by rebuke. I rebuke you because that has too many attachments to other verses in the Bible where she'll quickly say, are you calling me Satan? And now you just went down a hole, right? So you got to be careful, right? Because that can happen and the wife will quickly grab on that and say, you just called me Satan. And next thing you know, you got to explain yourself and you're just digging deeper, right? So I would not say I rebuke you. I would use other words to remind her that she is usurping your authority. But being kind and gentle about as much as you're able. And I know many of us, it's hard for us to do that. Yeah. But that's a good question. Yeah. But, you know, you got to let her know. You do have to let her know that she is usurping your authority. But you just got to be gentle and kind with your words when you express it. So it doesn't escalate. You want to de-escalate. Right? That's your responsibility, is to de-escalate. Remember, she's a weaker vessel. You're supposed to be stronger. So you don't go toe-to-toe with her. You de-escalate. And you try to do that. Okay. That was good. Any other questions?
No, I mean, kind of going on that, let's think about, like, if there's ever, like, that's like, conflict or things like that that would ever lead up to, like, you know, having to, like, conflict or more direct confrontation. It seems like, you know, there's more of what we talked about, like, you know, love and, like, you know, family worship, like, education and, like, you know, if there was ever, like, a difference of opinion, like, I remember, like, when we were trying to figure out, you know, coming into the Reformed Church, like, it took a while because, like, we didn't know. You know, I was trying to explain, like, why, you know, wasn't able, you know, I wanted to just say, like, no, we're going to the Presbyterian church, you know, but, like, you know, I had to, like, explain, and it took a while because I was still forming, you know, so it took a while to like explain, you know, why we should do that, and it took time, you know, versus, you know, like, you know, it would not have gone great. It was like, no, like, put my foot down, like, because we were in the church, you know, we needed to stay until we were, like, you know, ready, until we, like, understood we were on the same page. So I think that kind of, like, that love and, like, you know, explaining and teaching and, like, you know, with gentleness and that kind of stuff instead of, you know, putting, you know, putting your foot down, but...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's a difference between putting your foot down and saying, honey, I think we're going to go with this decision that I think is best. There's a difference between both, right? So, yeah. Juana?
I want to say that in the side of the woman,
Okay.
I think we talk a lot. And sometimes what we want to say is very simple, but we say so many things, and in the process, we get it lost. So I think one of the things that I would probably say that I would want in my sons to is, and even in my daughters, is to consider that sometimes we need to be more thoughtful of how we communicate to our husbands what we need or what we want or what we need. What we're trying to say, because in the process, sometimes, like I said, you say so many things and it was in vain, and that would kind of give them a hard time in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard some men over here say amen. No, just playing. So Juana was saying, for those on the mic, you know, sometimes women say, talk too much, and what they're trying to communicate, it gets lost in all the words that they say, right? Yeah. Yeah. All right, and Phil just said, a wise man listens to all of it. Okay. Good. And because sometimes the wife is trying to communicate to you, and you may just heard, okay, you heard the 10th word, and then you stop listening at the 17th word, and when you stop listening at the 17th word, there's maybe something at 25, 26, 27 that actually really matters, but you tuned her out already because you stopped listening. Oh, she wants this, boom. And then you just tuned out the rest. And what Phil said is, listen to all of it, even though it tests your patience. Because like men, we just get to the root. Just be direct. And men and women do think a little different. Lou? You, yeah, like, all right, honey, if I understood you right, you say you want this. Now, if I miss something, let me know. And that's where the wife needs to learn also not to lose her patience and become angry and say, you weren't listening to me. No, I'm trying to clarify, and I want to know if I missed something, right? So, good. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Anything else?